Well, we're going to start making a beef perkelt. And perkelt is kind of a stew thing. And it's the basis for, well, you can eat it on its own as a stew. You can put sour cream in it and make it into a paprikash, or you can add water to it and simmer it for many hours, and then it becomes goulash, or guyash, as it's properly pronounced. People think guyash is a stew, but the stew is actually called perkelt, and then the water and the potatoes and stuff make it into the guyash itself.
Joanne Sasvari is sitting in my kitchen, instructing me in the finer points of Hungarian cooking. Joanne is a senior lifestyles writer at the Calgary Herald, but she's also the daughter and granddaughter of Hungarian immigrants who came to Canada in the years following the Hungarian Revolution. In a book called Paprika, a spicy memoir from Hungary, she details the good times and the bad times her family went through in Hungary before moving here. As I chopped the onions for the perkelt, she told me how the book came about.
And I started just sort of out of the blue, really becoming interested in their stories. And it suddenly occurred to me as I was, you know, listening to their stories and talking about, you know, things that had happened in the family, that every story in our family had to do with food. And then I got really intrigued by the food itself and started thinking, okay, great, I'm going to find some Hungarian cookbooks and learn how to cook Hungarian. And then I couldn't find any. So it became sort of a good idea to actually write my own. And what I've come up with is a culinary memoir, and it's a travelogue, and it's also a collection of recipes and history about the food and how this cuisine came into being and how the cuisine is completely inseparable from all the historical stuff that happened, the invasion of the Turks or the occupation of the Turks, the thing with Austria, the thing with the Italians. I mean, all of that is on your plate there.
But you were totally not into your Hungarian heritage when you were younger.
Oh, no. I was embarrassed. And I hated the food. I mean, I just hate it. I hate the smell of paprika. Oh, no. Never loved that at all. And it was quite a big change for me. And I mean, I loved the Italian, loved the Thai, loved all the good, you know, cuisines. And learning to cook Hungarian was really, it was really interesting because it was so different in so many ways. And it was sort of a big turnaround for me to actually admit, okay, I kind of like this stuff after all.
I'm glad Joanne decided to explore the roots of her family and their ancestral homeland. The chapters describing their struggle in Hungary and their eventual flight over the border into Austria are riveting and emotional. Throughout the book, a picture emerges of the remarkable strength and cooking talents of Joanne's grandmother.
My grandmother was an amazing woman. She went through so much turmoil in her life, and she was just this little, I mean, she was like 4'11" and this complete ball of fire. She married my grandfather when she was, I guess, in her 20s. His family was very wealthy. Hers was not. They cut the family off without a penny. They went on. They had three children. They survived the First World War. They lost all their money. They lost everything. Then they survived the Second World War, and they lost everything again. They survived years of Soviet occupation. And then in their 50s, they packed up and, you know, fled the country under gunfire and came to Canada and started all over again. She always made amazing food, and she was pretty astonishing. She could do anything. I mean, she died when she was in her late 80s, and a couple of years before she died, she was up on the roof fixing her own roof.
After browning some onions in the pot, I stirred in a mixture of spicy and mild paprika, the heat and oil of the onions releasing the fragrance of the spice. Then some cubed stewing beef, heat to low, and wait. The beef cooks in its own juices and tenderizes. To make it a classic Hungarian paprikash, I just stirred in some sour cream and served it on top of egg noodles. Delicious and well worth Joanne's culinary research.
If you come from a Hungarian background in Canada, you grew up with this, the perkelt and the guyash and, you know, the traditional dishes. But the traditional cuisine itself is much more complex. It's one of the most sophisticated, or used to be anyway, one of the most sophisticated cuisines in the world. And went to Hungary, discovered these amazing ingredients, you know, beautiful duck and wild game and wild mushrooms and, you know, the cherries and the apricots. And I actually found that all the food I really, really like is like the old Hungarian food that I'd never actually eaten, you know, and went there and then found all these chefs who are completely excited about creating this new cuisine, which is actually the very old cuisine, and bringing it into the modern era. And they're bringing back traditional ingredients like the mangalitsa pig or the gray cattle, which is this wonderful lean beef. And it's this really exotic looking thing with, you know, horns as wide as a bus. And, you know, and they almost died out during the Soviet era when it was all about collective farms and mass production and blah, blah. And now it's all sort of coming back, you know, in small forms, but it's pretty exciting.
Paprika, a spicy memoir from Hungary, is one of the best books I've read this year that ties together food, wine, travel, and family. not to mention a handful of traditional Hungarian recipes that are sometimes hard to find. For Joanne Szasvary, the journey revealed her heritage to her in a way she never suspected it would, and her love of food opened the doors to people who are often close-mouthed about the past.
Food is a universal language. People love to talk about food. They love to show you how to cook. They love to talk about the ingredients. They love to talk about the wine. And when you talk about any of these things in a land where there's been so much turmoil, you can't help get into the real stories as well. So you can start saying, oh, well, why is your vineyard so small? And then you get into this whole long discussion of, you know, how the property was taken away from the landowners and they got to buy it back in little parcels. And it's fascinating. I mean, there's nothing that is on your plate that doesn't tell you the whole story of a culture, its ingredients, its geography, its climate, and its history. And, you know, what a delicious way to learn.
That's Food for Thought. I'm Don Genova.